All right, welcome to October 30th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. It is I, your host, Joseph DeCristoforo, and one of the reasons why I do the show is because of the men and women serving in the military. If you are serving, or if you have ever served, thank you for your service. Notwithstanding, for the next 5 minutes, I will talk about America, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I assemble this podcast from a tool shed in my backyard in La Mesa, California, right next to America's finest city, San Diego. If you're ever looking to move to the area, or if you have any questions about real estate, check out TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. Because as a full-service Encinitas and San Diego real estate professional, Teresa works with buyers, sellers, and investors in real estate transactions. So check it out, TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. That's Teresa with an H. And let's begin the show as we normally do with a Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up, face the flags if we have one, put our right hands over our hearts and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Woohoo! America! And now on to today's headlines. We'll wish a happy birthday to John Adams, plus
Monster Truck Bigfoot gets a new battery.
And Stephen King spends the night at the Stanley Hotel in Colorado. All right, so now here I go.
1735.
Happy birthday, John, Duke of Braintree Adams. Bonnie Johnny was born October 30th, 1735, in Braintree, Massachusetts, now Quincy, Massachusetts. His great-great-grandparents landed on Plymouth Rock in the early 1620s from England. He often skipped school as a youngster to go fishing and hunting, but lest you think that's setting a good example, keep in mind that he began attending Harvard at age 16, where he got 2 degrees. Some people are just too smart for school, I suppose. He was 5'6" and considered rather, for a lack of better term, stocky. Hence the nickname, his roundity. He married his sweetheart Abigail Smith, who was almost as smart as he was, judging by the countless letters they wrote back and forth. As a distinguished lawyer, Adams became a patriot early on, becoming a delegate to the First and Second Continental Congress, worked with Thomas Jefferson to draft the Declaration of Independence, and pushed the American colonies towards the movement for independence against Great Britain. However, also as a lawyer, despite strong anti-British sentiment, he made a point after the Boston Massacre to defend the British soldiers involved in the shot heard round the world. His point was simply to show not just the colonists, but also Britain, that the American judicial system was fair and balanced. Locally, as you can imagine, this hurt his law career, but strengthened his reputation over time as a courageous man. When the Revolutionary War began, the Duke of Braintree Adams served as a diplomat in France and Holland and assisted the negotiations of the Treaty of Peace. Upon his return to the newly formed United States of America, Adams became the first vice president under George Washington. John and Abby moved to the president's mansion, we call it the White House these days, which was so new the paint was still wet. It was damp and uncomfortable, didn't have much furniture, and Adams wrote to Abigail, "Before I end my letter, I pray heaven to bestow the best of blessings on this house and all that shall hereafter inhabit it. May none but honest and wise men ever rule under this roof." Now that's a knee slapper. Hostilities between the British and French were tighter than a funeral drum and caused serious problems for the U.S. on high seas. When Adams sent 3 delegates to France in 1798, French Foreign Minister Talleyrand and the directors refused to meet them unless they paid a substantial bribe. This became known as the XYZ Affair after Adams reported the insult to Congress and the Senate released this information, referring to the French directory simply as X, Y, and Z. This created a huge boost to the popularity of Adams and the Federalist Party. He signed the Alien and Sedition Acts, intended to deter foreign agents out of the U.S. and suppress attacks of the Republican editors. Congress authorized money to build 3 new frigates, as well as several warships to fight the French in the seas. A quasi-war broke out between the U.S. and France as hostilities broke out, ending in 1800. Since there technically was no war, there was no winner. However, Adams became a loser in the eyes of many in his party. Hamiltonians were furious that his roundity would back down from France, and in the 1800 presidential election, Adams was defeated to his own vice president, Thomas Jefferson. He did not attend the inauguration of his old friend, now political nemesis, but instead retired to his farm in Braintree. Most of Adams' teeth had fallen out, which was not uncommon in those days, and he refused to wear dentures and spoke with a lisp. I'm not sure who made up the word lisp, but that's pretty cruel to put the letter S in that word. But I digress. Anyway, Bonnie, Johnny, and Thomas Jefferson became friends again after their life in politics ended, and what would be one of my favorite American tales. The correspondence they wrote to each other were very touching, in my opinion. On July 4th, 1826, the 50th anniversary of signing the Declaration of Independence, John Adams died at the age of 90, the exact day that Thomas Jefferson died as well. Adams' last words were, "Jefferson lives," not realizing Jefferson had just passed away mere hours earlier. Crazy, right? Happy birthday, John.
2012. Bigfoot debuts its new battery. The first monster truck to be fully powered by an electric motor, Bigfoot got a new nickname, Electrofoot. This 11,000-pound giant probably wouldn't fit in my regular-sized garage. It sports a Bob Chandler custom tubular chassis and a custom motor 260 kW powered by 30 Odyssey batteries, with six more powering the steering column and brakes. The tires are 66 by 43 by 25, and the shocks are custom nitrogen charged. Oh boy. This magnificent beast, which was designed and built by Dennis Berube of Phoenix, Arizona, gets 360 volts. And here it was in all its glory this night in 2012 at SEMA in Vegas, but didn't actually start car crashing until November 8th. Now, me talking about this, by the way, is not nearly as interesting as you watching it. So you really need to check this out on your favorite streaming channel site thing. 1974, Stephen and Tabitha King spend the night in the Stanley Hotel in Colorado. Back in 1903, Freeland Oscar Stanley, inventor of the Yankee steam-powered car, was diagnosed with tuberculosis. His remedy? Get out of the city and start eating right. He headed to the Rocky Mountains and settled in Estes Park, where his condition greatly improved. But life was boring. So he acquired the land and turned it into a resort area by building a giant hotel. In 1911, the second floor of that hotel, in room 217, a housekeeper named Elizabeth Wilson was electrocuted during a lightning storm. These days, 217 is the most requested room. Now that's the spirit! Room 217 is supposedly the room Stephen and Tabitha stayed in. At least that's what he told ABC News. On this night in 1974, King had free rein of the hotel, since he and Tabitha were the only guests. Kinda. As he wandered down the halls, he was quickly and easily inspired to write The Shining, which would be his biggest accomplishment in his still early career. Children of yesteryear, standing in the hallways. A party at McGregor's Hall. Heck, in 2015, the Stanley even built a hedge maze along with some hedge animals that just might come to life when you're not looking. The hotel also has a resident psychic named Madame Vera. For $50, you can take a 5-hour paranormal tour with actual ghost hunting equipment. The fourth floor is the place to go, since the sounds of children playing and laughing and running up and down the halls can mostly be heard there. But if it's too much for you, just know that if you're ever staying at the Stanley Hotel, it's not actually the Overlook Hotel. Here, when you're walking down the hallway, and if you see a fire hose in its glass container on the wall, remember, it's just a hose after all. Only canvas and brass. You could hack it to pieces and it would never complain. Never twist and jerk and bleed green slime all over the blue carpet. Because it was only a hose. Not a nose and not a rose. Not glass buttons or satin bows. Not a snake in a sleepy doze. Sleep tight, everyone. And so that, my friends, is going to wrap it up for October 30th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson.
Once again, I'm your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Check out the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com. Let me know what you thought about today's ep. For example, did you send John Adams a birthday card? It's okay, I didn't either. He's been dead for a long time now. Or what about the War of the Worlds? Can you imagine the pandemonium running wild in the streets? Crazy, right? So yeah, let me know what you think. And you can also check out some of the multiple choice quizzes while you're on the website. And be sure to check out tomorrow's episode, Nevada Joins the United States Plus. King George tells Parliament of American Independence. We'll wish a happy birthday to surf guru Hobie and Halloween in America. So don't miss that. In the meantime, you can catch me on Facebook and Twitter. My Twitter handle, by the way, is JDUSHL. So thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. See you tomorrow.